From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty with the news on this day in Maine, Monday, February 3rd, 2020.
This Day in Maine is made possible by the Dempsey Center, making life better for people managing the impact of cancer. Locations in Lewiston and South Portland. DempseyCenter.org.
Two schools in southern Maine are closed today due to flu outbreaks.
On Friday, we actually had 35% of the students at a school of 280 students.
The superintendent for MSAT 6, Paul Penna, says he made the decision to call a day off for Edna Libby Elementary School in Standish so the school could be disinfected after a rising number of flu cases.
It's unusual, but it was, I think, the right decision to make for that particular school.
Sanford Christian Academy was also closed today. In a Facebook post, school officials said that healthy teachers would disinfect classrooms while sick students and staff stay home and rest. According to the Maine Center for Disease Control, flu is widespread throughout the state with more than 3,000 cases reported and 10 deaths. Officials say law enforcement officers shot and killed a man who totaled a police cruiser during a chase and then engaged police officers in an armed confrontation in Minot. The Maine Attorney General's office is investigating the officer involved shooting last night near the post office. Police said four officers are on paid administrative leave following the killing of 44-year-old Jason Gora of Auburn. Police say Gora was armed, but it's not clear whether he fired at officers. Looking at the weather tonight, cloudy with a few flurries in the northwest and lows in the high teens to the high 20s. Tomorrow, overcast skies with some light snow in the south and showers along the coast. Highs tomorrow in the high 20s to the high 30s. The stage is being set for a statewide battle over Central Maine Power's plans to build a power line through Maine's western woods. Opponents today submitted more than enough signatures to get the project's future on the November ballot. Fred Bever has more.
Activists who worked on the voter petition drive carted dozens of file boxes filled with petitions into the Augusta State offices for delivery to the Secretary of State.
Goodbye, corridor!
Goodbye!
Meg Osgood of Portland was one of dozens of canvassers taking a celebratory turn after months of door knocking and staffing tables.
This was a really easy topic to talk about with Mainers because we're overwhelmingly opposed to the corridor. People were very open to discussion here and mostly on the same page.
The 141-mile project would bring electricity from Canadian hydropower dams into the New England grid to serve Massachusetts customers. Mostly, it would expand the footprint of existing power line corridors in Maine, but some 53 miles of new corridor would be cut from the Canadian border to cross the Kennebec River Gorge before joining existing lines in Carrituck. The effects on scenic and ecological resources, as well as the region's outdoors economy, has galvanized the opposition.
Well, having a chance for Mainers to have a say is a big thing in the state.
Stephen McCarthy is a building contractor from Rome, Maine.
We've been railroaded in a lot of projects, and we didn't want that to happen with this one. Furthermore, the environmental impacts are not only being affected here in Maine, but also in Canada. They're not being fair to the First Nations Indigenous people, and they're not being fair to the citizens of the state of Maine that overwhelmingly do not want this project.
The proposed measure would reverse a decision by state utility regulators last year to permit the project. Project supporters say that would mark a questionable end run around the Public Utilities Commission and the statutes its decision was based on. The CMP has poured millions of dollars into a political action committee called Clean Energy Matters. That group has been placing ads on television and online calling attention to jobs and other economic benefits of the project. The PAC and CMP are also highlighting what they say would be reductions in climate-warming greenhouse gases that would result from bringing low-polluting hydropower into the region.
I think our commitment will be unwavering to make sure that the true facts about the project are out there.
Thorne Dickinson is a vice president at CMP, which is owned by Avangrid, itself a subsidiary of Spanish energy giant Iberdrola. Dickinson notes that some of the project's opposition is funded by natural gas generation companies who do business in Maine and who could lose profits over the 20-year span of the hydropower contract.
one of the big reasons why we're here today, and our belief that the fossil fuel companies have long opposed this project, particularly for the fact that they will be losing hundreds of millions of dollars unless they can get this project stopped.
A representative for Calpine, which operates a natural gas electricity plant in Westbrook and which helped pay for signature gathering, could not immediately be reached for comment. To qualify the referendum language for the ballot, 63,000 signatures must be validated by the Secretary of State within a month, a process CMP says it will be watching closely. After that, the legislature can either enact the measure itself or send it on to voters, and lawmakers also have the option of voting to place a competing measure on the ballot. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Fred Bever.
Maine Governor Janet Mills today unveiled a nearly $127 million supplemental spending plan for the next 18 months, as well as a significant bonding package. The largest item is $37 million more for local school subsidies, with other money for Mills' other priorities, as we'll hear in a moment. Republicans were quick to respond to the governor. They say both the spending proposal and the borrowing plan are too big and have the wrong priorities. Joining me from our Augusta studios is senior political reporter Mal Leary. Mal, it sounds like we are in for a political battle in spite of the talk of bipartisanship over the last few weeks.
We really are, Nora. It's a continuation of the disagreements in spending priorities that we saw last year. Many of the governor's spending proposals are for items that didn't make the budget last year or get funding in a bond. Items like cleanup of hazardous waste sites, wastewater treatment grants, upgrades for the state's armories, replacement of forest fire fighting equipment, capital equipment for the career technical education centers, additional money for state's higher education facilities, and on and on. It's tens of millions of dollars in additional spending that the governor wants that basically she didn't get last year.
More spending, not what Republicans want. So can they block this additional spending?
Well, first, Nora, I'd say that Republicans would support some additional spending, but their priorities are much different. Their big concern is even with the additional $20 million that the governor wants to put into the rainy day fund, it should be larger. They point to economic unknowns, like the impact of the coronavirus, and want more money set aside. The reason a lot of items failed last year was the leverage the Republicans had to pass the two-year state budget. It needed a two-thirds vote, as does bond proposals that were defeated. The supplemental budget only needs a majority, so the leverage the Republicans have is on bonds.
Could we see then some old-fashioned political horse trading, like fewer budget items for Republican bond votes?
Well, that's really how politics works, isn't it? The governor's proposed $10 million in cash for transportation repairs and upgrades and a $100 million bond. She also wants a $15 million bond for broadband and a bond for land for Maine's future and repairs for state parks of $65 million. They need Republican votes to send any of those bond proposals to the voters for their approval. And that's where you're going to see the Republicans try to use their leverage.
What's next, Mal, for all these proposals?
Well, the Appropriations Committee will hold public hearings for several weeks and try to get as much agreement as they can on both spending and borrowing. This session's supposed to end by mid-April, so the pressure will be building to reach some compromises. But whether that happens is the question in this election year.
Well, Mal Leary is our senior political reporter in Augusta. Mal, thanks for joining me.
Thank you, Nora.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. I'm Nora Flaherty.